This is Buggy Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. A few weeks ago, in the course of poking around to find out about North American chicken news, I joined a Facebook page for the Albany Chicken Coalition and their efforts to re-legalize chickens in New York's capital city. Shortly after, today's guest, Brenda J. Helm, sent me a message telling me about the situation in Niskayuna, New York, where the question of legality is in a kind of limbo, and the reality is that microflock chickening has been banished. Brenda is someone with a lot of initiative, on many fronts, as we'll find out in a few moments. Thank you, Brenda, for contacting me, introducing me to your story, and agreeing to do this show by MP3 Exchange.
Thank you for speaking with me today, Bucky, and for the help you've given our friends in Albany, New York, and across the country.
Why, you're welcome. You and your family and flock have gotten a lot of media attention in your region and beyond. I'll post some links to the Facebook wall. But for folks listening now, how'd you get started in chickening?
I was going through a bad patch in life and was very depressed. I'd lost my job, my son was injured while in Iraq, I had just moved to a new neighborhood with my fiancé and younger son, so I was homesick, and then I got sick and I couldn't shake it. I was told I had lung cancer and was going to die. I felt I had very little to live for, so I pretty much gave up and got ready to die. My husband-to-be brought home a box from work one day in April 2010. Inside there were 12 peeping golf balls, and that's how the girls came into my life and saved it. John's grandfather built our stone house in the 1930s and always had animals on the property. Chickens, pigs, geese, dogs, cats. We have nearly an acre of land with an existing chain-link fence and kennel area, so we knew accommodating space wasn't a concern. We researched the Niskayuna Town Code thoroughly to make sure there was no law against having chickens in an R3 district. There was no mention of having chickens as pets for home food production.
So was chickening everything you and John thought it would be?
That and more. The love John gave to me that day in that box gives back every day. He, my family, neighbors, and the girls remind me there are always reasons to live and enjoy doing so. With all that had been happening in my life, somehow I'd forgotten that. The girls moved into a hutch in my living room where they were hand-fed, held, and played with from day one. They all developed personalities and earned their own names, like Henrietta, Rhoda, Vera, and Sid. Yes, one of our ladies turned out to be a strapping young rooster. In a couple of months, they were big enough to move outside into a coop with a laying hutch and chicken wire enclosed run. Our Roo went to a rescue ranch when he started to crow, though. We built their enclosures with scrap material that had been left on the property years ago, repurposing waste back into a usable form. The girls only come out of the protected enclosed area and into the larger garden area when one of us is outside to watch over them. We have hawks, eagles, and other predators in our area, and I'd hate for one of our ladies to get hurt. I do take them individually and in pairs for walks around the yard under close supervision from time to time, like when the mulberry tree is dropping berries or a new anthill appears in the yard. The girls have given me amazing health benefits in so many ways. They chase away blues, give me an outlet for maternal nurturing, and provide the most delicious eggs daily. It turned out I didn't have cancer, but I still lost 2/3 of my lung because of a rare bacterial infection. After surgery and 2 weeks in the hospital, the girls got me back on my feet and out of the house quickly. It wasn't just that I missed caring for them, I missed them. So I let them out to play and scratch and forage while I work in our organic garden. We don't use herbicides or pesticides, so we put a lot of time into it. John mixes chicken poop with yard clippings and lets it compost, which makes great organic fertilizer for the garden. I don't need pesticides with the girls around. Chickens are great for the garden, and not just because of their composted poop. They turn and aerate the soil, get rid of bugs and grubs, and for them, weeds are a tasty fresh salad. Plus, they are so delightful to watch. They never fail to bring a smile to my face. You just can't be depressed or lazy when there's a mischievous chicken around. My neighbor's son, who has autistic spectrum disorder, got a lot of benefit from his interactions with our ladies, too. They were the first real animals he'd met, and they made eggs. How cool is that for a young man to see, feel, and learn about? Animals can be cute, fun, friendly, and they're part of a sustainable food chain. What a cool concept. Watching us working in the garden and coop areas encourages him to ask questions, make connections, and form bonds of his own in a very relaxed atmosphere. The girls got to know him very well because he learned they liked to be fed fresh veggies from the garden, which he fed to them by hand through the fence. That made him very popular with the girls and gave him a fit of giggles regularly. But people of all ages like to stop in as they pass the house just to meet our ladies when they're out playing in the kennel area. Joggers, moms with kids, senior citizens that reminisce about having chickens when they were growing up and how much they missed the experience have dropped by to introduce themselves and visit for a bit. Having our little micro farm gave people an excuse to be friendly and strengthen the community by getting to know each other. It was a really nice added bonus the girls gave us just by being here.
Wow. I'm still in awe, no matter how many coop profiles I do, of how every flock delivers the benefits that the individual chickener needs. It's difficult to hear that even though chickening is flourishing in most North American cities, for all the reasons you just explained, that the bureaucracy in a handful of cities, like Niskayuna, are shutting little coops down.
It's exactly that disturbing trend that spurred us to create a microfarming initiative in Niskayuna, New York. Our own experience is teaching us that there is a lot of misinformation about keeping chickens, like noise, smell, diseases, vermin, environmental damage, things like that. The lack of accurate knowledge plays a large role when towns and cities are making decisions regarding chickens and microfarming. Our microfarming initiative is very focused on education. We believe that people will agree with microfarming activities once they understand the facts. In our case, we weren't afforded the opportunity to appear before the town board to discuss our case prior to being taken to court. This action denied us the opportunity to address questions and concerns about our chickens. We were in violation of no law, and we were eager to work with the town to reach a mutually agreeable compromise. Instead, the town took us to court, fined us nearly $4,000, and gave us 72 hours to rehome our girls, even though we were never cited for being in violation of any law. The judge found against us based on his interpretation of the word farm, which is actually already defined in the town code and does not apply to us. His new interpretation meant chickens could only be farm animals. Therefore, you must be a farm to have chickens, which we couldn't do because we're in an R3 high-density residential district. We are appealing the decision. The town has announced it will review and revise town code to more clearly define what animals may be kept as pets and what animals may only be kept on a farm. These proposed revisions have not been released to the public for review or comment to date. The attention we received from our legal situation resulted in people contacting us with their own concerns regarding home food production, the right to choose their own pets, and legally use their own property as they see fit. Many people were also concerned about the negative impact on the environment due to industrial expansion in our area and feel microfarming is necessary to help balance out some of that damage. For some, it was even just the principle of the whole thing. If I could be stopped from doing something without any credible evidence of it being a nuisance to my neighbors, what else would be stopped because a few town employees think it's inappropriate to their idea of what their town should be? The neighbor I mentioned before told me it was a real loss to her son. And nobody asked her. The town does not seem to want to hear the voice and desires of their own people. As time went on, we found we were not the only ones this had happened to, but we were the first to fight back in such a manner. In response to the community interest, we created a proposal to modify the Niskayuna Town Code to define and protect microfarming activities. The revisions include defining what a microfarm is, registration fees, and guidelines to make sure animals are well cared for with adequate space, food, and comfort. We're currently gathering support and signatures while trying to be heard by the town board. It isn't just about our ladies and our little piece of property anymore. It's about the need for families to choose their own lifestyle without fear of undue harassment and prosecution. It's about our desire for home-produced, healthy food. It's about citizens using their land in a legal manner as they see fit. These are our rights being violated as a town. We will lose those rights forever if we don't protect them now.
That really is an inspiration. Thanks for telling me all that, and thanks for all the work you do promoting our shared agenda of bringing the multiple benefits of chickening to every corner in North America. On this show, I talk every week about how whatever your setting and goals are, putting the appropriate number and type of chickens in the mix will improve your chances of success. And it's pretty much what we're always hearing is supposedly the national consensus of what we want. Self-reliance, good health, quality food, national security, family endeavors, community endeavors, all that good stuff.
Exactly.
Well, I sure had a good time exchanging ideas and MP3s with you, Brenda. I hope my other radio listeners and Facebook fans take your cue and contact me at Bucky@BuckyBacaw.org with their stories. As far as I'm concerned, we're all heroes in the national effort to beat economic depression, clinical depression, and all threats to good living and eating.
Thanks, Bucky. I had an excellent time.